Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. It's got to be Wednesday night at 7 o'clock because we're here. We're being, and I'm going to tell you who these we are in a couple of minutes here. But as you know, you longtime listeners, if you want to be part of the program tonight, 440-946-9468. Call in and somebody's going to be talking back to you. So we'll take your calls and however you want to come in. Makes no difference to us, good or bad. We love it. So we are here tonight with Christina Bertero. I pronounced that right. And she is with Fully Promoted Cleveland. And we're going to hear all about her. She's a high energy, very interesting woman with a very interesting story. So we should have a lot of fun tonight. We're looking forward to it. Now, you longtime listeners, you know what our program's all about. We're business coaches. When I say we, my longstanding partner in coaching, we have a coaching business. That's Adam Sunhalter. We've been together 18 years, more than most people are married these days. And what we do, we coach small businesses defined as 1 to 25 employees in any business. And we do this with a company called Maximum Value Partners. And we have a lot of fun doing it. We deal with the business owners and we help them make profits through understanding business. And between us, Adam and I, there's probably nothing in the small business world that we really haven't seen in our 18 years together. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of fun doing it. And what we do, we meet in our day job our clients who are small business owners, and we extract from those meetings issues that we make programs out of for an hour. And that's what we do. We have an endless supply of stories, small business stories. And we also interview very interesting people who we come across in our travels here. And between those two things, we just have a lot of fun. We enjoy doing this. We've been doing it for over 3 years now.
Yeah, we almost four. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a big event coming up here, our 200th episode. 200 of these. And you can hear them all. You can go to bed sleeping. Or not sleeping. They won't put you to sleep. They'll keep you awake.
Wait, are we a cure for insomniacs, Jack? Is that what you're trying to say?
Wait a minute. You can hear those 205. Every show becomes a podcast. So you can hear those podcasts and to your heart's content.
You're becoming like Joe Biden. I just let you keep on talking. I'm not sure where you're going to go, but that's okay. I'll stick with you. Go ahead.
I feel like Joe Biden. Anyway, we have our guest, Christina, tonight, and we're going to interview her and hear her story. It's a great story and a great person here. So, Adam, why don't you take it over?
Absolutely, yes. We're very excited to have Christine here. First of all, we're excited that Christine is healthy because we were supposed to have her on a couple weeks ago, and she felt so bad.
Yes.
I said, look, you'll see in here, she's very high energy, has a great story to tell. So, look, we want you to make sure you can tell your story as you want to be able to tell it. So, no problem. So, it's helped to build the anticipation for this kind of comment.
Oh,
but Christina and I met, for those of you who are familiar with BNI, we were both visiting a BNI chapter.
What's BNI?
BNI, Business Network International. It's been around since, I believe, 1985, so it's been around for a little while. And there are, I forget how many, there are several thousand chapters worldwide. Mm-hmm. But it's a great business referral group. It's a real business meeting, and part of the meeting is you get up and you give a one-minute commercial about stuff and say what a good referral for you is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting up and getting ready for my commercial, and I say, hey, a good referral for me is anybody you know who's been a graduate of the Goldman Sachs program. And all the way across the room, here I see this woman waving me down like she's on the tarmac trying to bring me in.
That's me.
I said, I got you. I said, hey, we'll see each other afterwards, right? And so we exchanged cards, and we wound up getting together the next week, and I had a chance to go visit Christina at her place. Had a chance to meet her husband, much of her staff. We talked about a lot of things, including disc and all kinds of fun stuff, right? Yeah. So it was one of those meetings. I think we were together for an hour or 2 hours. I don't know what it was, but it went very fast. And we've seen each other a few times ever since then. It's been a lot of fun. But I was so excited to bring you on here because you have a fantastic story to share and be able to tell. So we want people to kind of hear about it.
Sure.
And so what we'll do is we always like to kind of start out to have you just kind of give a little background in terms of, you know, where you're from, kind of where you grew up. People will know that you're locally from here. They want to hear you speak. But mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, where you're from, we'll get up to your experience before launching Fully Promoted. So just give us a little background on yourself, Christina.
Well, hello. Hi. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for having me. The first thing that I have to say that I'm not from Ohio. You can tell.
I would have
you can tell that,
that
I'm not from Ohio.
No, Ohio has a lot of different accents. Do you know? Well,
I used to say that I'm from south of Pittsburgh, but people look at me like I'm a crazy woman. Okay. No, seriously, I'm from Brazil. And years ago, about 26 years ago, I used to be an attorney there. And I had my life and everything was okay. My husband came to us and to our family and said, well, the company that he was working that was Cummins Diesel wants to move us to the United States. What do you think? And I said, well, I was younger and naive. Let's go. I said, that's going to be a great experience. I was so excited. Couldn't say one single word in English, but that's okay. So we came, and the first place that we went was Memphis, Tennessee. So we left Brazil, São Paulo, went to Memphis, Tennessee, and we lived there for about 3 years and a half. And I would say that I cried for 2 years and a half because I always, for example, was crazy about reading, loved to read. And I used to live very close to a Barnes & Noble. And for 2 years, I read Winnie the Pooh. That was the only book that I could read. So I said, I'm getting sick of this. Anyways, the time starts to go. And after the company moved us to Columbus, Indiana, a very small city south of Indianapolis because the headquarters for the company was there. So we moved to Columbus. We stayed there a while. They wanted to move us to China. And that's when we said, we just sit down and said, okay, I don't think this is speaking enough. Chinese is going to be a good thing. So I said to my husband, I love you, but we are not going. So Fernando left Cummins and we went to Pennsylvania because he went to take care of another company. So pretty much I'm following him all these years,
sure,
raising my girls. About a time after some years in Pennsylvania, my oldest daughter, I have three daughters, my oldest one went to college. So she went to Pitt. And that's when it starts to hit me and say, okay, they are going to start to, they are leaving. What
I'm
going to do with all this energy? I'm not going to be knitting here. It's not a good thing. So I started to think about, okay, my next step. So we finally moved to Ohio because Fernando was hired by Bendix. So that's the reason why we came here. And that's when it started to get really serious about the next step. And into beginning of 2012, I decided to buy what was at the time, the name was Embroid Me. Embroid Me is a huge franchise. That was the headquarter for the franchise is in West Palm Beach, Florida, and Embroid Me was under the umbrella of United Franchise Group. So I bought the business, and here, that's fantastic. Here was the dream. I said, "Well, I'm gonna buy the business. You keep," said to my husband, "you keep work for this big corporation, and I'm gonna grow the business. And 10 years from now, we are going to be having a Mai Tai in Hawaii because we are going to be filled rich."
Perfect. Perfect vision.
Right?
That's right.
So well, let me break this to you. It didn't happen like that.
No.
Well, that's a halfway point between here and China, so Hawaii is a good place to stop, right?
Exactly.
It was a lot of fun thinking about that, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I knew that I need to buy a franchise because I knew that I need to have the assistance of the franchisor, coming from another country, coming from another culture, another language. I didn't have the basic knowledge, so I needed the assistance. I bought Fernando. Fernando worked for Bendix, and after he left Bendix, and he went to two other companies. Anyways, he finished when he was in Invacare. I'm going to say about 4 years ago, Invacare had a huge restructure, and Fernando left Invacare. And that's when we came and sit down and said, what are you going to do for us now? And I said to him, why you don't come and work with me? Why did they say that? I love my husband, but come, okay. So he said, you know what, let me do this. Let's do this together, because at the end, this was the dream. So for us to finish this together. And was a very, very good decision, because we are so different. We are completely different. He is the numbers, the process, the metrics, the... And
the
I am the
woohoo.
Yeah, yeah. I am the, you know, the loud, the Latina, right. the connections and networking. And you know what? In some way, this worked and was good and was very good.
All right. So we'll delve into that here in a minute. I want to kind of step back for a second. So it's something I think it's hard for most of us here in the U.S. to appreciate what you just talked about in terms of picking up. Moving to a place where you don't speak the language at all, right, to your mm-hmm. point, and embrace that and kind of come up to it. Not only do that, but then starting your own company in a foreign place, okay? You know, you've been here for a while at that point, but again, even when you got to Cleveland was still a newer area for you, especially
Absolutely.
What's kind of going on.
Yeah.
So I think people don't understand. There's a lot of chatter about immigration and what's kind of going on, all mm-hmm. stuff, and people really don't really appreciate that. I mean, you said it well. Where you said, mm-hmm. hey, out of the first 3.5 years, I cried for 2.5 of those
yeah,
years, right?
True.
Where it's just it's a huge change. But it's amazing in the last 25 years since you've been here. All of a sudden, now you've kind of made this your home. To the point where you, hey,
that's
this
true.
Is you know other mm-hmm. than Hawaii, the Mai Tais. But it's one thing I think that people just you know it's hard enough to start your own thing, you know, in a place where you know, but to start it. Well, you don't know. That says a lot about you in terms of the confidence you have in yourself and the ability to kind of get stuff done and say, let's go make this thing happen.
Well,
and just seeking the adventure. As you said, you were much younger. And, you know, the whole idea of picking up and going to a foreign country, why not? You know, what a great adventure.
Absolutely.
I know exactly how you felt. I had something very similar laid on me. So
is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And it's exciting.
Is
it's
it very exciting? So in just adding to this is, I think the fact that I didn't know what I would go through.
right, exactly.
That helps. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That completely helped. That's
yeah,
absolutely
you're right.
True.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't know what's going on there.
Yeah,
so you say, okay, let me go.
Right, yeah,
and you
I'll
say,
find
oops,
my way. And
okay.
I did, but and you found your way. You know,
you
but,
find,
yeah,
exactly.
That's
the problem.
Confidence of youth.
I remember, like today, the day that I stopped, that I was on the airport in Brazil, and I put my foot inside the airplane. We always travel a lot, but every time that you travel, you have the ticket to go and to come back.
Right.
Now I have the ticket to go.
Hmm.
And that's when I realized, I said, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
Very interesting. And
what
really,
am
the,
I doing?
The little things like that.
Yes.
That.
And you say, now I cannot just start to run back, and I have to go through. So yes, again, I think the fact that you don't know, like, for coming to Cleveland, I knew that buying my business, I knew that I need to do something.
Right.
But I didn't have idea. Thank you, God, I didn't have idea. Mm-hmm. Probably if I knew, I wouldn't do.
Yeah, so, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So I want to jump into that. When we come back from break, I want to talk a little mm-hmm. bit about, in terms of the process you kind of went through, in terms of trying to identify what you wanted to do, and mm-hmm. you eventually went to the franchise. And we'll talk about inviting your husband in, and what kind of seizure you had that made you want to say that, and we'll talk about what was good
okay.
about it, bad about it, because we have a lot of experience with that. I do personally as well, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so we'll talk about it when we come back, so stay tuned. We got that coming here. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And if you want to be part of our program, I'm Jack Mancini. Call in 440-946-9468.
All right, stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right, all right. Sorry, we're welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
All right, we have Christina Bertero on tonight from Fully Promoted
Cleveland. Bertero. Roll that tongue.
Roll those R's. That's good. We have a lot of fun in the studio tonight. So in our first segment, Christina was giving a little bit of background in terms of her growing up in Brazil and how she got here to the United States and how she came here not speaking a word of English. And as the nest started empty with her three daughters starting to leave and growing up, Christina was very wise and introspective in thinking about, hey, I got to take all this energy and ideas and I got to put it somewhere when the kids are gone. Mm-hmm. And she decided to buy a franchise. And so people often think it's a very clean, simple thing to kind of do or it's a very process. But for you, it wasn't just like, you know, that process. It wasn't about the product per se. But as you're going through that process and say, hey, I want to get to a business, kind of give people insight in terms of what you're thinking about.
Sure.
What was attracting you to the idea of having your own thing?
Well, let me put this away. I really knew what I didn't want. I knew exactly what I didn't want. I didn't want to deal with anything related to food.
Okay.
And I would love. I knew in some way that I want to do something with other business.
Okay.
So that's the start. I start to funnel my options. I came across to Embroid Me because I love the marketing, and as I start to dig in with the United Franchise Group. With the corporate, I kind of fell in love and get passionate the way that they are extremely organized. And I said, well, if I have to pay my royalties on that one, it's better receive a lot of assistance back. And trust me, I need a lot of, I can be painful.
You seem very comfortable with asking for help or expressing your feelings. You don't seem very shy.
No, I'm not.
I can see him at corporate headquarters.
We won't accuse her of being shy.
Oh, it's Christina calling sure. again, guys. So
oh,
you
my
take
God.
The call this time, right?
So, oh,
no
I
way. No
I,
way.
I can see that.
Rock, scissors, paper. You, okay.
Exactly. I can see, I can picture the guys at corporate having the phone and see, oh my goodness, North Homestead, Cleveland, Harris, oh, it's the woman again. And she comes with the accent.
Right.
That's okay. No, but I knew that I needed not just the regular, but because from being from another culture, another country, I will need more. So better buy something very well structured.
Okay.
And also, like I was telling you before, I had my passion would be start something from scratch and seeing the business get a body and get bigger and grow the business. I think that's the thing. I love to grow the business. I love to have goals. I love to have that butterfly in my stomach. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I needed to sell this amount, you know, to get to my where I need to be.
Right.
So this is the passion. Okay. This is my passion.
You're hitting some good things. We coach people often how to go buy companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the standard advice out there, they'll say, hey, put together this one page with all these bullet points and define exactly what you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we take that thing and crumble it up and throw it in the garbage. They said, you don't really know what you want yet, right? And so as you described it very well, Christine. So look, I'm kind of narrowing out things I don't want, but I had broad, okay, so I want something in the business-to-business sector, and I want something where, okay, it's not food. Okay, it's that's a pretty wide-open thing. But to go in and just start to, we call it turning over rocks and looking at different
mm-hmm.
things to kind of see, because you never know what might strike your fancy. And there's so many different kinds of companies that exist that, you know, there are small companies that might be doing $500,000
Absolutely.
Or $2 million. And it's like, we don't even think about it, you know, and if, you know, like you know, with Jack's, you know, early in his career, when he was with big corporations, he says, look, I was driving by these things every day and I know that that they were there because I was in my big corporate world.
Not until
world,
you
right?
start to, yeah, you educate yourself tremendously by looking for companies and eventually you find it. But you can't describe it beforehand. It's
mm-hmm.
it's almost impossible. But you keep going through them, and all of a sudden, here's one, just like you found.
Uh-huh.
This is what I want. This is it.
And there was one more thing. I knew that I didn't want to have, after I bought what was at the time embroiled me. The name always bothered me because I said, I don't want to have a craft store. I never liked the name because I think gives to people the idea that I would be at the machines doing
too limiting, backpack, right?
Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Doing embroidery. I have no idea how to turn on the machine. I'm going to be super honest.
I understand perfectly. And I have no intention. You and I relate well.
Exactly. And I have no intention to learn. Because that's not what I do. And I always say to our team, this is a sale, is a company that sells. This is our main goal, is to sell. All of this looks awesome. If we don't sell, we close the door. And you are not going to see me here on the machines doing the embroidery. Forget about it. I have no craft inclination. I'm awful. I have no idea how to do that. And I think that you need to think about who you are.
Sure.
So because we still see in our industry a lot of business owners that love to be there, right. Love to be on the production area. Well, that will show where your business go. I knew what I didn't want.
Okay.
I didn't want to be a production inside production. No.
So I think that's probably one of the keys to your success you've had so far is kind of knowing about that and understanding where you best fit, and then get a team around you that could take care of the things that you weren't good at and you don't like to do. We're amazed, Christina. There's so many owners that they get into business. And they usually fall in love with a product or service, which you didn't do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that they're spending all their time doing a bunch of other stuff, and they wind up hating what they're doing. It's like, it seems insane to us. Like, well, if you want to be miserable, go get a job somewhere, right?
Exactly.
But if you own the company, it's like, make this to the point where it's going to be, it's putting you in the best position to do what you do well and to have success with the company. But people often get in their own way. But you've had some good success here. I'm curious, you know, as you look, we'll get to Fernando in a minute, mm-hmm. but in terms of, you know, to go from nothing, like you said, you really enjoy that growth. So what mm-hmm. have been some of the keys for you in terms of getting some of that growth in order to go from, again, because you went from zero to where you are today. What are some of the keys for you?
I don't see you writing numbers and entering data into the computer. I don't see that either. You're a born salesperson here.
Yes.
And you like it, and you make things happen with
exactly.
your behavior style.
Yeah.
I can see in action, Christina.
Well, okay, and exactly, answering to your question. The first thing, I said, I need to get out. I need to get out of the office. And was today I left when I think about this, because I said, my first reaction was, I love to network. I love people. I love to be around people. That's me. That's what I do the best.
Right.
But I used to go to places and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, my English is not very good. That was my first sentence before I introduced myself. I'm sorry, my English is not good. And one day my husband looked at me and said, why do you say that? Why do you apologize all the time because mm-hmm. you're English? And I started to think about it and say, well, that's true. I'll be 16 soon, and this is not going to get better. Forget about this. This is me. And the day that I realized that, I start to use the fact that I have this accent in my favor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I start to use that because what's happened? Because my English is not like the majority of people, make me unique.
That's right.
Make me different.
Sure.
So, it's the crazy. Yeah. Embrace your difference.
Yeah.
Embrace, you know, it's my embroidery machines are exactly the same as other
everyone,
my competitors.
Right. How do you
differentiate? I am different, right. You know. But what I did, answering to your question, I start to network like crazy.
Okay,
start to go to all the groups that I go. And
so BNI was one, and you know.
BNI was the first place that I went.
Okay.
So I'm a member of BNI for 8 years.
Okay.
I love BNI.
8 years.
8 years. Yes.
I said 80 years. I was like, wow.
No, 80. No,
right.
No.
Yeah.
You need, Adam, you need to improve your English. I said
That's
eight.
It.
Okay. So BNI was the first place. BNI, and I'm in the same chapter.
For
8 years. So making me wake up every, when is the 7:30 in the morning for 8 years. So I really need to like that. And after I joined some chambers, and I kind of literally fell in love with North Homestead Chamber.
North Homestead, okay, yeah.
And today I'm the president for the chamber.
All right.
And we have something much more special because the North Homestead belong to umbrella, something that calls Power of More Chambers of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Power of More Chambers of Commerce is the umbrella for today 10 Chambers of Commerce.
Okay.
Pretty much start in Cuyahoga Valley and goes to all these small cities, Fairview, North Homestead, and Westlake, and goes until Oberlin.
Yeah, so it's got 10. It's got 10.
You can have ten chambers okay. of commerce.
We're against our next break, and we'll come back to this
sure.
in a minute. But when we come back from break, folks, we're going to talk about, as I mentioned at the opening, Christina is a graduate of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. So we're going to mm-hmm. talk about her experience with that program when we come back from break. So stick around. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right, all right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
Hello, Adam.
Hello,
Jack Mancini.
All right. And this is our Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business, kind of Goldman 10 for 10 corner that we do with the guests that we have on every month who are Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business graduates. And so Christina was in the program a few years back, and that's actually how we met. As I explained before, I was looking for Goldman Sachs graduates, and she was very proudly waving her hands to say, hey, that's me. So part of what we like to do with this segment, Christina, is we want to help you give people a sense. Because, again, the idea is if we've got some folks who are out there who may be thinking about something like this, and I always like to start to say, you know, when you first heard about the program, you know, what, you know, kind of where were you at that time? And when you heard about, what were you thinking? Say, hey, this seems like a good idea for me to dedicate, every Friday for the next 13 weeks to leave my business and go do this stuff, because it seems like a big commitment. Now, the price is right, as we know. It's free from a cost standpoint. They offer the scholarships to everybody, I go. But it's a big commitment. So what did you hear? Kind of where were we? We said, hey, this sounds like a great idea to do.
Well, it's not just a big commitment. First of all, it is in English.
Right.
And I said, oh, my goodness. Okay. But anyways, I'm like a sponge. I need education all the time. I'm very curious, and I need to get better in things that I'm not. And I said, okay, if I'm going to do this well and grow this business, I need to have a large spectrum of knowledge. Who can give that to me? So I came across 10,000 Small Business. I went to the interview, and I had all the bullet points that they need to have to accept someone there, and I start. Was definitely one of the best things that I did. Not just because, okay, a lot of things that they teach you, we know already, but you have so much other things that you don't know. And not just the classes, but let's start with having inside the same class. I was in cohort 14. That was about 4 years ago.
4 years ago, probably. I think they're on 2021, 22,
yeah,
something like that.
Something
now.
Like
okay.
this.
All right. Yeah.
So we had 30 other people inside the same class. So 30 other business owners. So you have all this exchange information, because there is one thing that I say all the time is, it is being a business owner of a small business. It's a very solitary position.
Very lonely at the top. There's a cliche that talks about that, and it's very true. It's lonely at the top.
You don't know where to go.
That's right.
You don't know where to go when you have a problem. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with an employee? What am I going to do with my cash flow? Well, you have no idea. So it is kind of, you have 30 other people inside the same class for 15 weeks, right? And you become really close to each other. really close, and you feel comfortable to ask, to share. You know, it is fun. It is, of course, it is a lot of time. There is a lot of time, but you live there with so much more. I love every aspect. No, I'm lying. The financial was painful.
I was gonna say, wait a minute. I know there's certain things.
Oh my gosh, was painful. Yeah, I'm not good with my numbers, but you know what? I learned things.
Right.
I know how to read my P&L. I know how. I'm not an expert, but I know my numbers today.
Sure, you understand, right?
I understand my numbers, and I figured it out. That's true. Something that everybody says, you need to know your numbers.
So,
or you don't grow your business. Simple like that.
So when you were going in, you were thinking about the idea. You described yourself as a sponge. I want to get better. I want to learn stuff. So you figured, hey, this is a good place to kind of go. I'm going to learn stuff. You're probably thinking more about the instructors at that point in terms of what you were going to learn, in terms of those things. Maybe you weren't thinking as much about your fellow business owners until
And
then all of a sudden you get in there that first day, and I got to believe all of a sudden that light bulb went off pretty quickly, it sounds like, in terms of, and again, as you mentioned before, you love people, right? So I imagine you had 30 new friends.
Absolutely.
By the end of day one already.
People, absolutely.
Everybody knew who you were, and you're kind of going there and say, so again, you had expectations about what you're going to learn, and you did learn some of the stuff from you know, like you said, I kind of knew that stuff already, but I learned it made a different way, but boy, these 30 people are just like me. All of a sudden, I'm learning from them like crazy.
It is funny because you go to the first day and you are very kind of quiet and concerned and behaving.
Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I was. First day. I said just the first day.
You got to be quiet once you
you start, as the time goes, and you start to see that everyone is like you. Say, they don't know.
Right.
The same things that you don't know, they are normal like you are, right? So we are everybody in the same boat. And some people have a better knowledge with the financials. I have a better knowledge with sales. Another one with, HR department or things like this. But it doesn't matter. We start to connect with each other.
Yeah, and together you got all the elements of business.
Exactly.
In the room. Yeah.
And the other thing is, I was talking to you before we start here, that I was in Broadview Heights this week.
Right.
It is a customer in my class from 10,000 Small Business. So we keep going and we meet each other. We try to meet every month, but, you know, every other month, kind of, we still get together.
Folks, for those of you who aren't familiar with the program, you know, like Christina's describing, you have 30 people in the class, and they'll take it and break it down into groups of like 5 or 6, right? So you have a small kind of group. So the folks get together. Is it that small group of yours that gets together, or it's the whole?
The whole thing, of course, of the 30th. Not everybody goes every time. But we keep in contact. We have a WhatsApp group. We have our Facebook group. You know, we keep in contact as much as we can.
Right.
Of course, you're going to be closer to some people, not as closer to others, but that's how it goes. But it was a fantastic experience. Fantastic experience.
What's funny is, you know, Jack and I have gotten involved the last couple of years with some of the later segments. You know, we've been the only non-bankers that get invited to the banking presentation stuff. And they come in, people talk about, you know, what it's like to work with a coach or a mentor and stuff like that. But it's funny because you walk in at that point, you're at week 12, week 13, and you can just feel... You can feel the camaraderie in the room, right? Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like going through, I never went through boot camp, but Jack did, you know, but you know, you have that where, again, you come in as strangers, and 3 months later, you're walking out, like you said, as best friends, because you've come in, you've shared a bunch of stuff, you've helped each other.
Absolutely.
So it creates that bond. And it's one of the things, again, at this point, we've probably talked on this show with about 15 or 18 graduates, and that's a common theme going through almost all of them, where they're just like, wow, it's just like, what did the one person call it? I think she called it like my group of workaholic friends. It was something like my workaholic support group, something like that. I was like, okay.
Some kind of support group.
She's like, I wasn't even sure I needed this until I got there. I was like, wait a minute. This is what I've been looking for. And all of a sudden, and here it is. And it just kind of came out of that.
Yes.
Right?
And so. And you know what? Not just that. One thing that I completely got what I was saying. But yes, you become very, very, very good friends. I just remember what I was saying. You have the tendency when you put a lot of business owners together, And you start to say, oh, how is your business? How are you doing? Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, business is doing super well.
There's
and
not
you
a bad
just
business,
think,
in, there's not
oh
a bad
my gosh,
business
this,
in the country.
Oh, it stinks
right?
in here,
Are
doesn't
you
it,
kidding
right?
me? And after you look and say, this is not right. This is not true. It's not good. My goodness, how am I going to do the payroll? My goodness, my cash flow, you know, things like this. Right. And that's how you start with this same attitude by the third class. So, you know what?
Everyone is laying,
everyone is the same boat here. Yeah. And this is what I love. You know, that's what.
Well, this is a big reason why we started the show 4 years ago. We call it Dirty Secrets of Small Business.
I love
because,
the name.
Well, because it's there's all these kind of things. Like to your point, it's we know it. Again, Jack and I have been doing this for so long, and we've been involved. So we know it's the case. It's like, why isn't anybody talking about this stuff? It's like, it's real. You shouldn't feel so isolated and solitary as you're describing and saying, well, I'm the only one. Well, they all say they're doing great. Maybe it's only me who's having this problem. So what I do is instead of opening up about it, I clam up about it,
yes.
and I keep it internally. We see it way too much. And so it's a fantastic thing that the Goldman Prize is one of the things that does it to help to bring that out of people. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a lasting thing. And again, that bond you mentioned, you guys are sticking together. So they aren't perfect, though. I'm sure they do good stuff. But if you know, as you look back now, again, it's been a few years. You know, could you think of anything that, hey, if they had tweaked this or done something better, or maybe it's not the program itself, maybe it's something after the program in terms of, hey, it'd be really cool if they had this or, you know, this is a way to be able to make it even better than it's been? Anything that comes to mind as you reflect upon that?
You know, I don't know if I can answer these questions to you well, because, like you said, it was so many years ago.
Right.
I don't know how it's happening today. But, you know, for example, maybe they could do the financial part a little bit shorter. So
Shorter or longer?
That was painful, trust me. Oh, my goodness.
It's 2 days, two full days, is that right? Or three?
No, they have, in my case, were about two Tuesdays. Huh. I used to go Friday. Friday was the full day.
Right.
Financial was for two consecutive weeks, Tuesday. From kind of 5 to 10.
Oh, geez. After a full day, you're going in. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So, no, but I'm just kidding. It was very important.
Right.
But at some point, my brain was like smushed. So I couldn't think anymore. But anyways, this was one thing that was a little bit very hard. But other than that, I had fun all the time. Wow. I love it.
I'm gonna guess there aren't too many places you don't have fun, because if you're not having fun, you're probably gonna find something else. You bring the fun with
I
you,
will.
Which is okay.
I will. For
it's,
sure.
It's one. You know, it's one of the things we talked about in terms of, again, knowing what we do from a day to day, from a coaching standpoint. There's so much that the program covers in 13 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we describe it as that big fire hose that they open it up and they throw it at you, and you try to bring it and drink as much of it as you can, but it's so hard to learn this stuff in just, you know, 13 weeks. And
almost impossible.
It's almost impossible. Yeah. Yes, it would be nice if you could do twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And also, I think...
Oh, kind of like a refresher to kind of go back?
Refresher,
okay.
Yes.
All right, that's a good idea.
And the other thing is, I think it depends on where you are in your business.
Sure.
You know, what phase are you are? Do you have your business for 1 year, or you have your business for 10 years? You are going to learn in a different way.
Right.
But I answer to you, I think a refresher would be wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful.
That makes sense.
You know?
Well, what do you get from the group? The group that now meets, how often do you meet? Twice a month?
Usually the idea would be once a month. Everybody's invited. Some people go, some people don't go. We don't meet everyone every month. You know, I don't go for a while now, but we know what's going on, and when I can go, I go.
You have a
otherwise
structure, like an agenda that or you just kind of come together and
no,
somebody
just
pours
have
a
fun.
Scotch and we go from there, huh?
No, it's literally how you are doing, how is business going, but because we know each other.
It's a real discussion. It isn't the everything's okay, right?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's a real discussion.
Yes, it's something more. Yeah, I'm having this difficult here.
So you bring
it is
up
not
your
accountability group. See, I know some of the cohorts. They still today have once a month they meet each other and they have kind of accountability group.
Okay.
So you say that you are gonna do this, your short term goals, is this, your long-term goal is that. And people ask you how you are doing. Come on, what, you know. That's. Mm-hmm. But we in my cohort, we never did that.
They're the partying cohort, Jack, I think, is
I
what
think
happened.
So.
They had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Christina leads the pack.
I lead the pack? No.
That's part of that support group. Again, that's a big part of it, just to have it. You have your people. You have the people that know
yes.
you can go in and just, it's. I think as you're describing, Christina, it's so hard to just kind of be yourself at times, especially as the owner, because all the eyes are on you. All the people that work for you think you have all the answers,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, if it's hard to kind of be open and honest with them, because, again, if you worry about something, well, they say, well, gee, if she's worried about that, well, should I be? So there's certain things you can't talk to your team about.
That's true.
You just can't.
That's true.
And so to have that safe place to be able to kind of go and do that, even if it's they aren't holding you accountable. But again, just to talk about sometimes just talking through stuff. Often the ideas kind of come where they may say, hey, would you try this or do that? Or why don't we get together and we'll talk next week? And you can have a little sidebar. But again, it's helpful just to be able to talk freely about some
exactly.
of this stuff.
But thinking something different. I think that we should have some kind of agenda. You know, like, okay, what was your highlight of the month? What's happened that was a good thing or a bad thing, right. personal or business? Because when you have a small business, everything that's personal is going to influence.
That's right.
We should have something like that,
a little more structure.
More structured, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Christina. It's fantastic to hear another example of the experience with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. When we come back, I want to delve a little back. We touched on it a little bit at the beginning, but I want to talk about I'm calling it a seizure that you had when you invited Fernando into the business. We'll talk more about how that happened, how this kind of going, and we'll talk about what the future holds for you and for Fully Promoted Cleveland. So
Okay. Stick
around. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I am Jack Mancini. We're rounding the corner here. This is it.
We are. And we're having a great discussion here. We've got Christina Bertero from... is that better?
Right.
That rolling better that time, Jack?
Bertero.
That's the 5 years of Spanish I took between high school and college. I didn't do very well in, but I got the R's rolled down. We're good. But we're talking about Fully Promoted Cleveland and how she shared her story. The last segment was about her Goldman Sachs experience. And I've been teasing this. I want to get into sound a little bit in terms of what kind of happened in terms of when... So about four or five years into the business when your husband Fernando left the corporate mm-hmm. world, and you had this wonderful idea to say, "Hey, honey, come join the business." So tell us about the thinking of that, what happened, and kind of how it's been going over these last several years.
Well, I knew that I grew the business at a certain point. To go from that point up, I will need to have what I don't have, because I'm very good with people. I sell well. I'm the face of the place. I connect well with people, but I need more than that. I need a structure that I didn't have. And he had, and that's when I said, just let's work together. Let's do that. Was a very, very funny adaptation time. It was a very hard adaptation time. We had our moments, mainly because he came from a big corporations and working in a small business. Now,
different world all
exactly.
together, right.
A lot of things happened. For example, I remember one day that he asked me, he said, Can I have a coffee? And I was in a very bad mood. And I said, yes, you can go downstairs and you do the cough, and you make the cough, and you're way back and you clean the bathroom, because, you know, we don't have another people here. That's us. It's mm-hmm. us. Okay. But he brought until today, he is so different of me. Like I said, he is the number guy. He is the process, the organization. And the mix of the two of us, that's what makes the business. And the business grew a lot
since he joined. It's funny, I mentioned before, I had a chance to, you know, Christine was kind enough to host me at her place when we first met. And so I got I went into her you know, large office, lots of stuff all over her office place. And she described for me when Fernando first joined, Jack, and said, well, okay, so she's sitting, picture a big office she has, and she's in the one corner. And she goes, well, he started out, he was like kind of right next to me in this corner over here. A week later, he moved to the opposite corner over there. A week later, he built the wall of different stuff to kind of, you know, to try to drown things out. And after 3 weeks, he moved to his own separate place because he couldn't take being around her in terms of, because he was trying to focus on things that he wanted to kind of get done. And as I'm sure the audience is getting a sense, Christina's got lots of ideas, things kind of going on, and she's constant movement. It was just kind of distracting him a little bit, right?
He said that I'm the most obnoxious person. I ask and I answer questions. I talk to myself all the time, and I
disrupt. You've been married, Dave, for 30-some years at that point, and this is all news to him? What are you, a totally different person?
Well, we never worked together in
we never worked together. So, but anyways... Work it. So we was a learning process. It still is, but we kind of learned to respect. Okay, this is, I cannot cross this line. Right. You know what I mean?
I think the timing. Mm-hmm. A couple things. The timing was key. That you had if he had joined you probably day one, I think it'd have been a lot different. Okay.
Because yes.
You had a few years to kind of get things kind of going to where, and I think you may have said this when I was there with him, to remind him who the boss is when you guys come in. That you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
This is your business. He's obviously part of it because you guys are married. But it's clear that you're the one in charge when it comes in there, and you have to, because again it you've been putting all your effort into it for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of joining and doing it. And as you described before, when you first started out, you had an idea of what you were good at and getting people to support you. And said, okay, we now need him to come mm-hmm. in. He's very different than me.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can kind of coexist and work through some stuff. And you guys have a very good. I tease Fernando because he's not here. He's a very good man. You guys have a lot.
Yes.
I can tell you a very strong relationship. You guys speak your minds,
absolutely,
which is very important. And I grew up with parents who worked together, so I thought it was normal. And I realized mm-hmm. how it's abnormal to be successful doing that. So you guys continue to do well, not only have a successful business but have a successful marriage can be challenging at times.
Absolutely.
But knowing the roles again, you know, when you guys are at home, you guys know each other a certain way. But when you're in the business, it's got to be a little bit different, and it takes effort, especially early on, to mm-hmm. kind of to do that, because you have a certain rhythm. You know.
The reality is, of course we have discussions. Of course we don't agree with everything, but at the end, you have to think, it is about the business. That's what it is.
Right.
Right.
Not about
what is
you.
Good for the business. Put your ego a little bit separate.
If you frame it that way, you're always right for the business. And that's, you can't bring the personal emotion.
No, exactly.
It.
So yesterday, for example, we had a wonderful meeting that was the first time that we put all our team together and we separate absolutely, put in a spreadsheet the roles for each one. Because we started to get everything mixed. And I said, this is not working. So now we have a very well-defined role since.
Good.
So literally, today I saw myself crossing a line and he just put the paper and said, do you remember? This is my area. I said, yes, sir. Okay.
Well, it's one of those things that people either they don't do it at all or they do it once where they kind of put together, you know, you're describing like almost like job descriptions or duties or like an organization chart. It's okay, I got it and it's done. And it's like, wait a minute. This mm-hmm. is a business is a living, breathing organism, right? And so as you kind of grow, things happen where something that 2 years ago was only maybe it was an hour a week, all of a sudden now it's a day a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those things kind of go. It's like, wait, I can't get all this stuff done. We need to kind of reorganize stuff or to repurpose stuff or things take their, you know. So to constantly be able to look at that to make sure things are very clear what's kind of going on is very important.
Let me share something with you too. And also because we are very involved with the community, with everything, with different groups. And that was very important for the get-go. I have my dynamic. I have my energy in my groups. And he doesn't go there.
Huh.
And I don't go to him. So, for example, he sits on the board of GCP and COSI. I am the president for North Olmsted. And I also belong to NCBIA, that's North Coast Builders Industry Association. Each one of us, we have our chapter in BNI. He is with Manufacturing Works. That's another big industry group. I don't go there. So because that's his energy. He creates his energy here. I create mine here. People know both of us, but we don't mix. We don't mix at all.
Good. So, very wise. You're very wise. I mean, yeah. and why you're successful, and that's why you're having fun.
And you know what? When he goes sometimes visit my groups, when I go, everybody knows it. Oh, Fernando, you are Christina's husband. I love that.
All right, we have one more minute here. To give people a little insight, because each couple's a little bit different. Are you guys a couple that when you go home, you guys don't talk about business? You kind of draw that line in the sand, or is it it's free for all? It's constantly being talked about.
How can you not talk?
Well, some people talk
about business, but. You know what? Like, again, I said, it is about the business come first. We both of us, we have no choice. This needs to work. So we stop thinking about what's going to hurt me. I'm not saying things to hurt him. He's not saying things to hurt me. We are saying things to get better in business. More
successful. So whenever it gets emotional, you come back to that question. What's best for the business?
What's best for the business? Because there is...
I used to say, real nice.
Yes, I used to say I put all my money and I sign all the papers.
That's fantastic. Right? It's a fantastic way to end the show in terms of... That's a great piece of advice to kind of go on. What's best for the business takes a lot of the emotion out and makes things work very well. Christina, thank you so much for coming tonight and sharing your story with us. It's been fantastic.
Definitely.
I'm sure we can have you back again at some point. It'll be very good. Maybe we'll invite Fernando if he behaves.
That would be fun.
Thank you for listening to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Just a quick heads up. Next week, we're having Elizabeth Sapple from All City Candy and Mentor will be here sharing her story. She's also a Goldman Sachs graduate as well. She'll be sharing her story, which is very fun, and hopefully bring us some candy. If you missed any of tonight's show or any prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. If you have any questions, you can email us in between at radio@maximumvp.com. Hey, you can learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.